This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Transgender Point of View is an Australian news and current affair panel talk show.
Airing weekly and hosted by Joy 94.9.
Transgender people come from every region around the world, racial and ethnic backgrounds and faith communities.
Chances are that you've met a transgender person, even if you don't know it.
But there are still many misconceptions about trans people.
And as a transgender person, there are a lot
of questions asked of us every day.
What's this about using they as a pronoun?
Isn't letting a trans person use my bathroom dangerous?
Do I refer to you as he, she, it, or they?
So what's your real name?
Are you a drag queen?
What's the difference between sex and gender, and why does it matter so much?
Did you have the operation?
What is stealth?
How does someone know they are transgender?
Really random questions.
Are you sure you're not just super gay?
You must be a transvestite.
What bathroom do you use?
Will I be able to have sex?
What does cis mean?
Good evening, you are listening to Transgender Point of View. Mama Mish here.
And Anastasia, I'm back.
You're back, lovely. How are you?
I'm great.
You're great.
I'm trying to stretch my holiday a bit longer every second.
So. Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Now, I do may have to make sure I throw the new producer under the bus here at the moment and give an intro and shout out to producer Karen, who's come on to help us with just doing stuff on the show. And, you know, do a splendid job while we kind of run around and do a million other things.
Hi, guys. Great to be here.
And thanks so much for having for all your help so far with bringing the show together. And I'm really looking forward to some of the great content we're going to start doing together.
Me too.
Awesome. Anyway, Ben, so what do we got planned for tonight?
Me?
Yeah.
A bucket of chicken wings.
Oh, I wish. I went your favorite. I had some soy garlic chicken earlier.
I smell it in the air, like a few chairs away from you. Well, so you know, after a whirlwind of events, you know, the past few weeks, I finally got a house to sit at for a few days.
Wow.
In the south.
Nice.
And so I'm going back there tonight and just enjoy my own company there.
Wow, very nice.
Has a bath, a massive garden, like backyards and front yards. So just lovely.
You're going to squat and they'll just have to forcibly remove you from the property?
Honestly, I really enjoyed the whole like running around naked and nobody cares.
Yeah. But isn't that normal for you?
Kind of normal.
Yeah. Same as much.
Yeah.
So we got some really cool stuff to talk about. You did a really good interview today with Mama Alto.
No, that's for next week, actually.
Oh,
that's for next week.
Nice.
Yes. Because Gender Euphoria is on next week.
Yep.
And next week, we will be interviewing her.
Nice.
She has agreed to open her door and let the listeners enter her world through personal stories.
Well, I thumped her today on Pop Queer, so we both were a little bit competitive. It was right down the line, and I won some weird vibrating comb thing with a mustache. So I'm...
She's so elegant. It's just like, it would be so fun like to see it in person, like you and her.
Yeah.
The energy.
It was good fun energy, yeah. She squeezed her piggy, I squeezed my chicken, and we were good. So.
Cool. So, Anna, yes. You were off last week, and the week before you were saying that you've been going through a lot of stuff. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. So, first of all, a guy I had been seeing for 6 months who had introduced me to his parents and everybody from his side dumped me via an email.
Is that officially over now?
Yeah, 3 weeks before he came home.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my legal court case. So now, you know, I can stay in Australia for good. So, you know, lots of things to process because, you know, it's like for the first almost 30 years of my life, nothing seemed to go my way. And kind of put me down. But then, yeah, and then after that, like after that court case, everything just got into motion the way I always wanted things to be. So perhaps the universe was trying to get rid of him for me instead. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just a background. I think people kind of know my story already anyway, you know.
Well, it's always good to, for new listeners. You never know what they might be tuning in.
So just let's just say before transitioning, I was almost homeless and mm-hmm. I used to pick up food from the dumpster. The fact that I'm alive now, it's a miracle, really. Yep. And doing the things I've been doing. Yep.
And then you and I met and next thing you come on here on the show. And
then I was supposed to have my retreat at this place in the south in Cheltenham. Mm-hmm. And then I got contacted by a casting director asking me to audition for a Pantene commercial.
When was this?
It was just a few days ago.
Oh, wow.
So I had to explain to them that I'm so sorry, but I'm on my retreat at the moment. I didn't have much makeup with me or proper clothing, like, you know, dress up, like, you know, dressy clothing. And I don't have like proper lighting with me. So yeah, I'm doing my best. So I send them a video of myself doing the things they instructed me to.
Yep.
Hopefully I'll get the gig.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be great for our community, really.
Yeah. We have great hair anyway, so.
Pantene Australia. So yeah. And then I had my first official job interview this morning.
Wow.
So yeah.
You're a big kid now.
Yeah, like it just everything just happens so fast, and I love it. I like, who knows, at 30 years old or turning 30 years old, and
the world's your oyster, baby. The world's your oyster.
Yeah.
All right.
And tomorrow we are both going to the Clover Woods. So
yeah, we are. Tomorrow I'm looking forward to that. You got your frock and all frocked up, ready to go?
Yeah. Tell me more about your outfit, though.
My outfit, I'm going on pretty in pink. I'm deciding to keep it a little bit brighter, and
that's different from the normal. Yeah,
very different from me. So I'll be interested to see your thoughts on it.
Okay.
So a friend of mine gave me a pearl necklace, and yeah,
I call them beads. Okay.
No. This is different. It's an actual pearl necklace. Okay, you know, yep. And some earrings, and yeah, she hooked me up with a nice pink dress, and I'm going. I'm stretching. I'm stretching beyond my boundaries here. All right, yeah. You, Karen, you coming to the awards?
No, I'm going to a girls' party at Frye.
Frye?
Yeah.
Ah.
I've never been. It's good.
It's in Northcote. And hoping that I get what happened to you at Sundaylicious.
Yeah, somebody honked my boob.
What?
Somebody was feeling a trans man, and because he had his chest on, and we told them that we were... doing our, you know, talking about our top surgery stuff. She goes, oh, you had yours done? And she went and I wish I had a bra that had like a squeaky thing in it so that when they did it, it would have been, you know, but but it was a real shock and people seemed to just think they got the right to just grab my boobs.
Well, we have just the right story to share about that later too. So yes.
Definitely. Yeah, and just after this, Miranda's going to be talking to Teddy Darling about the spoken word at Hares and Hyenas this Friday.
I love it. Looking forward to it. You're talking to USN Trans POV. We'll talk to you soon.
Now, for folks who don't know, this Friday, is it?
Yep, this Friday.
This Friday at Hares and Hyenas in Fitzroy, Teddy Darling and Darwinton Grey present a spooky lineup of local queer and trans poets and musicians as part of Spooken Word. They unleash their queerest and campest Spooken Word to lead up to Halloween, hosted by Nancy Boy Sinatra, which I believe is you, Teddy.
Yes, that's me.
Now, I want you to say hello to Teddy Darling.
Hello.
To Nicholas Gray.
Hello.
And we also have Caleb Darwin here as well.
Hi.
Tell us a bit about this event and how it's all coming together.
Well, Caleb actually came up with the name, didn't you, Caleb?
Simply because I found a scarf that had this really spooky print on it, and I was just immediately like, oh, I'm going to wear this later in the year, and I'm just going to call my performance Spooken Word.
So now you've been waiting all year for this to roll around.
Pretty much, yeah. Because Teddy just heard me say that and was then like, oh my God, let's make that a whole event.
Yeah. That's kind of what I do.
And now you've got the 31 days of Halloween happening.
Oh, yes. And we're going to be so spooky this Friday.
Now tell me about, you know, your embracing of Halloween. Because, you know, like, in case you haven't noticed, we are living in Australia. And there has been some pushback from what you might call traditional Australians about embracing an American holiday. But, you know, like, it has special meaning for, you know, particularly the queer community and queer audiences.
Yeah, I guess I've always really been into costumes, into dressing up, into getting theatrical. Especially as a kid, I was definitely, like, the drama kid, the one that went all the way. And I definitely think I identified as a nerd before I came out as queer, even. Had a bit of a history with Star Trek Next Generation, super gay for Samantha Carter.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. And Doctor Who. And every time Halloween came around, I was, you know, the only kid in the suburb who wanted to get dressed up. but luckily, we also lived overseas while I was growing up, so I got to experience Halloween as it is kind of more embraced in Hong Kong and Vietnam. And I used to, yeah, I used to get dressed up as vampires, as witches.
Would they actually dole out the candy?
Oh, yeah. That was like, it was a huge thing in Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then came back to Melbourne. My birthday is on the 5th of November as well, so I'd pretty much always have a Halloween-themed birthday party.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Once I went to Halloween as a dead vampire, and my dad made me a steak to have in my costume. Yeah, we had a costume cupboard. We had, like, we're always getting dressed up in my family.
You know, I always found it kind of funny with vampires, like, and they say, how do you know if they're a vampire? Well, you put a steak through their heart and they die. Well, if you put a steak through a person's heart, they also die. Funny story, that. So we've got, you know, like, a lot of music happening at this event. You know, Teddy, you're going to be performing as Nancy Boy Sinatra.
Yes, that's my drag slut alter ego.
Okay, tell us a bit about
Nancy Boy Sinatra actually came from a show by Nicholas and Caleb from The Rest is Drag, which was at Midsummer Festival earlier this year. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we wrote this musical called The Rest is Drag about a drag king and a drag queen who start to fall in love with each other despite thinking of themselves as gay.
I really want to watch that rom-com.
But yeah. That was the kind of idea. We wanted to, like, take this kind of standard rom-com idea but really, like, make it super queer and, like, explore these themes of, like, gender identity and polyamory. And it's kind of, for me and Caleb, it's kind of our MO. We're kind of, like, using kind of traditional ways of telling stories but then just queering the f*** out of it. Am I allowed to say that on here?
You aren't.
Yay.
Sorry about that, Mum.
Oh, yeah.
By which I mean Clayton.
Polyamory is definitely a really important part as well of our working relationship because Nicholas and Caleb are together, but me and Caleb are also together. So polyamorists represent on radio.
So we've got a nice little, like, half triangle. No,
yeah, the triangle is not complete.
No. Not a complete triad, but you've got, like,
just a right angle.
You got a right angle. I love
So yeah, Nancy Boy Sinatra was a character that got added to the show for its Midsummer performance, and I played Nancy Boy Sinatra, and I kind of explore drag for the first time on stage and got to reclaim femininity and stuff like that, which has been a really tricky road for me as a transmasculine non-binary person. But it was really amazing to be able to do that on stage and return to this, like, yeah, fabulous musical theatre production. And I loved it so much that I kept the name and kept performing as Nancy Boy Sinatra.
It's such a weird thing as well, like, you know, when you get to, like, you know, explore femininity from, like, a male space. As well, like, and I've had, like, you know, some identity issues where I'm like, I think I'm kind of like a bit of a femboy sometimes despite being a trans woman. Oh god, what is this? I don't understand.
Non-binary. So much room to explore stuff.
But how is it, like, you know, exploring that while you're on the stage?
I think it's given me so much opportunity to do things that I wouldn't have had the confidence to do otherwise. And everyone gets really into it and loves it. I'm really about putting trans visibility on stage at all of my events. I organised the Trans Poetry Slam at Melbourne Spoken Word and Poetry Festival earlier this year. And that was such an amazing thing just to see people getting up and speaking completely unprompted into the microphone about their experiences, reading works that they'd written on the night, and just getting up and talking to each other like they'd known each other for years.
By the way, it should be noted that there is going to be open mic at this event.
Yes, yeah, there'll be open mic is something I'm really passionate about. Just being able for people to explore and express themselves in the moment is a really beautiful way to unlock yourself and feel comfortable with each other. Now, and yeah, there'll be open mic on Friday.
This is you know, largely, like a trans themed event. Yeah. So is it going to be open to everyone or just?
It certainly is open to everyone. We're just very passionate about putting trans people to the front.
Yeah, so which is rare. So. Yeah.
If you see trans people in the line, you're like, move to the front.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to go first this time.
We have a whole lineup of incredible feature performers who will be kind of inspiring open micers to get up. And every single one of the feature performers is non-binary.
Mm-hmm. And Nicholas, I just want to turn to you for a minute. You've put together some songs specifically together for this event.
Yeah. So I guess me and Teddy and Caleb have all been talking about queer horror themes and sort of how to present these things on stage. And for me, my background is as a musician. I was classically trained and I compose and write songs. So I was kind of thinking about how can I bring this queer stuff into like a musical setting to like make it a really like nice space for people to be in. And so I've written two songs for the event. And I've got a couple of other performances as well, but one of them, which is a very like queer, campy horror number.
But you mentioned that there was, intersections between queer identity and horror. Like, for folks who are unfamiliar with that sort of territory, like, how would you bring those two together?
I would say that. In horror, a lot of, and especially also in fantasy and science fiction, a lot of genre stuff, there's often like a double narrative happening where you've got the world of the story that's taking place and how it is sort of applied to the real world or your own experience. And I think as queer people, we often have to take every narrative that we encounter as like a double narrative to see ourselves in it, because we're often just not there at all. So you think, I'm looking at this world that doesn't include me. How can I kind of read this as also being about me? Mm. And I think that means that a lot of people have been really drawn to horror as a way to, a lot of queer people, I mean, have been really drawn to horror as a way to like see themselves in stories, because it's already like distanced from the real world in some way. And we can see these things in the story as like metaphors for distance from real life or like, not feeling included.
I mean, I've definitely heard other trans folks talk in the past about what's common in horror is the themes of transmogrification and morphing and changing.
Yeah, transformation, definitely.
Into something that sometimes, people reel from and, I think is horrifying in real life. Like, I'm not much of a horror fan. Like, it makes me think of, Ben Grimm, the Thing from Fantastic Four comics, who kind of does have a bit of, body horror kind of stuff going on. But, I guess there's, elements of, The Fly and some other Cronenberg stuff in there, maybe.
Yeah, we're big fans of David Lynch, Twin Peaks, and that kind of stuff. And I feel like a lot of his work is really, even though there's not too many queer characters, although there is a queer character in Twin Peaks, a trans character, a trans woman. But, yeah, a lot of his stuff is kind of taking these things, presenting these things on stage, on screen, sorry, that are like metaphors for psychological states.
That was Denise, the FBI
Denise.
Agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, played by David Duchovny.
Yeah, so weird.
It's and it's one of those weird examples because, there has been such a pushback saying, trans people playing trans roles, but I think that's, very much a recent idea.
Yeah, well, this was in 1991, I think.
Yeah.
And the way that the character was presented was quite, revolutionary for the time, I think.
It's like, that's Denise, Denise just does Denise. Let's not worry about it.
Yeah, she's just one of the weirdos in this town full of weirdos. And that's kind of, nice. Like, yeah, that's what I feel like sometimes.
All right, so drawing back to the event, tell us what you got planned.
Yeah, so something that I want to touch on is the monsters that we're going to have there. So in addition to dressing up as monsters, we're actually also going to have real monsters attending the event, which people can come and meet and hold and pose with, because we're working with a costume designer and detail stitcher, Elijah Montgomery, who is actually a monster designer, who wrote a thesis on monsters as being a vehicle for queer expression and an expression of queerness.
Oh my gosh.
He's bringing his monsters to the event, including the 10 tentacled furry black with lights in their eyes row, and the tiny little leather misshapen cutie pie who is my personal favorite, and also the furry hairball, another one. And yeah, so you would be taking photos, you can pose with them, you can meet them,
really?
You can hold them.
Are people inside them? Or are they just
they're kind of,
hanging
they've been
around?
Made to be held, to cuddle and get to know. They've all got their own unique personality. So they'll be at the door for people to meet as they come in. And we'll have the first half hour for people to kind of sign up to the open mic and to get to know each other. And then we'll be kicking off at 7:30.
Oh my gosh, I'd be so nervous meeting them, just being like, hi, cute monster.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Oh my God, it's licking my hand.
They're cute, but they also like completely like revolutionize like what a monster could be and what a form can be. And Elijah always experiments and tries to push boundaries and go for the weird, not the perfect.
So are we talking like, you know, uncomfortable weird? Are we talking just like really cool weird?
I think cool weird, like nothing gross, but in terms of like really challenging expectations about how many limbs is normal, how many eyes. Elijah loves eyes.
A friend of mine who is a games designer, she once told me that if you want to make a really creepy monster, just do a human face and then just remove like one major feature from it. Like, you know, like imagine a face without a nose, or like, you know, a face without a mouth, something like that. That becomes really, really creepy all of a sudden.
Yeah, but if you want to hear more about Elijah's work, you can follow him on at Elijahtude and see all of his other creations. It's really cool stuff.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we've also got a whole bunch of amazing acts and feature acts planned. Caleb's going to be performing.
Caleb's just kind of been quiet in the corner this whole time.
What am I performing? What am I performing? Oh, I'm performing one of my spoken word pieces. That's partially inspired again by David Lynch and Vertigo. And Nicholas is going to be accompanying me with that. She's going to lead into a song. It's going to be really eerie and cool, I think.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
And welcome back to Trans POV and Joy 94.9.
They always hold some really cool events out in Hares and Hyenas. Are you going to offer it as well?
I'm scary.
Are you going to give your spoken word? No?
No.
No.
But as it's Halloween, is it trick or treat?
Ooh. Yeah.
Which would you prefer?
Oh. I don't know. You got to do a trick to get a treat. Like.
Well.
Anna's all about tricks, though, so.
I'm about giving treats.
Okay, got it.
When people behave.
Oh, I see. Even better.
Yes, so lots of things to cover tonight.
Lots of things to cover.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do we have in the news this week?
So we have one party, but two very different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So the New South Wales Greens apologizes for publishing transphobic article.
What did they post?
So what they posted was, so technically they posted something from TERF members saying how trans activist agenda had negative consequences for women.
Okay.
Yes. I'm so sorry. I'm kind of chuckling at that, but.
No. But that's just funny. Okay.
Yeah, yes. So the woman, Margot Oliver, said that there's now ample evidence on the negative consequences for lesbians and other female human beings, because otherwise we'd be worried about dogs, right?
Of course, yeah.
that ensue with the adoption of the trans activist agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Greens posted this.
Yes. The New South Wales Greens.
The New South Wales Greens.
So we know
they're
New
a whole
South
other
Wales
breed. I mean, they're just, you know.
Yeah.
That's New South Wales. Not Victoria, you know.
But then the Victorian Greens passed a resolution to make language in the constitution gender neutral.
See, there you go. Like, our people are good.
The Victorian people are good, yes.
That's right.
And they've just elected a new co-convener, which is Effie Eldon. And I was talking to Ella Webb as well. And Effie's actually a non-binary person. And
okay.
She says that as a non-binary person, she's proud that her party continues to fight for equality and the rights for the community.
Go Greens, Victoria.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though, to make the language very, you know, non-binary. I mean, those things should have that in there like that.
I mean, like, you know, gender-neutral language has been around for a while.
Oh, it has, but the thing is making sure that, you know, that the things that we go for going forward with policies, with documents and laws, that we keep it that way.
Mm.
It's like Macklemore. A piece of paper isn't going to solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start.
Amen, sister. Amen.
And then we have two sides from one story.
Okay.
So one story, but then sort of interpreted in two different ways.
Okay, so what's the first half?
Okay, so one of the article is called "A Court in the UK Has Found That a Doctor Did Not Have the Right to Misgender Patients."
No, they don't.
Right. But then at the same time, Fox News.
Yeah.
Your part of the world.
Hey. Hey now.
They say, you know, Christian doctor fired over gender pronouns.
Well, of course we're going to throw in there the Christian part because they've got that whole push against the whole, you know, but Christian people, they're such good people. Nothing against religion, nothing against Christians. But it's just funny how over in the U.S. right now, it's very much a push to make that piece stand out the most. Like, so
what I don't understand is, isn't journalism supposed to be neutral?
But it's also that separation of church and state, I think, should be flowing into news as well. Unless it's like actually literally a religious reason for whatever. But that's not a religious reason. That's literally just an arrogance. Where did the first one come from?
So the first one's from out.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so you were telling us just before on this story about when you went in for your surgery, if it's not too personal.
No. Like I went in for my surgery and had, as I'm sitting there on the table, and like I hate anesthetic. I can't pronounce it right now. But anyway, I'm sitting there and I'm basically topless. I barely have anything on. I get this robe on. They're putting all these, you know, pencil markers and stuff all over my chest. And he looked over to my ex-wife because my ex-wife and I, she took me in and we're still really good friends. And he's talking to her and he was referring to me as he the whole time while he was doing it. Now, mind you, I'm at this point where I'm like, I don't care. You pretty much just juiced me up with stuff. I'm just sitting here waiting to go in. I don't want to go in. But what do you do in those moments? Do you just say, no, I'm out, forget it, I'm leaving. You've already paid all your everything. Or do you just wait to just get knocked out and get it done and go home? Or do you actually, you know, speak up in the moment? I think it's around, you know, time and place, really. Mm. But these are things that we just need to have better education on, especially when it comes to our healthcare. You know, I've gone into the doctor and sat there in the seat, said, look, doc, I got, you know, a sore throat. I'm really not feeling well. And he goes, oh, I've never met one like you before. Have you had the, and he gestures down at my crotch like I'm doing to you right now. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, look, doc, this is about my throat, not my junk. And he goes, oh, okay. And then he just, you know, kind of laughed it off and went back and filled me out my forms. I'm going, oh, this is rubbish, man. Like I shouldn't have to answer this or go have this conversation. But I don't care. You know me. I don't really, you know, should ask him how his junk's going.
You see, like, if he did that to me, then I would refer him to my Grindr profile.
Your Grindr profile?
No.
I don't want to know about your Grindr profile.
He's professional crayon.
You're supposed to tell your mama about Grindr profiles.
Yeah, and then that's just weird. Well, it's actually quite a good lead up to, because like in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to talk about how our healthcare system is failing transgender people.
Yeah, there's an article that came out about that. Was it The Age today or something, wasn't it?
So it's actually to do with a study by La Trobe University. And basically, they've surveyed over 500 trans and gender diverse people and found that while some people have reported understanding, educated, well-informed doctors, actually some trans people would rather die. Like, they're literally putting their health at risk so that they don't face discrimination that they've previously faced in a healthcare setting.
Well, most of those GPs you go to, if they're outside a clinic that isn't trans-specific, I mean, we've done focus groups on this within the work I'm doing with the trans employment, that even though we've got packets of information to go to the GP for doing, you know, self-consent or self-identification, whatever you want to call them, forms, or the starting of your trans process, most doctors outside, like your Equinox or your Northside Clinic or whatever, or Paran, most don't want anything to do with it, or they seem ignorant to it, or and want to remain ignorant to it, and they don't even want to seem to try and come halfway.
Yeah, we have too many stories of this.
It's not good.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to do a follow-up on that story.
Yeah, good. Good. That's what we like to hear.
And then speaking of healthcare, we also have another push for Medicare to cover gender reassignment surgery.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So in the UK, it's covered by the National Health Service while it still exists.
Yeah, well, that's something I've heard about that. But like in the US though, you have to have private health care for like a number of years, which is almost even out of reach for a lot of people as well. But it'd be great to see that sort of thing come into the system here. But I'm curious how much that would actually cover, like how much we want to do. Like, for example, if we just want to have, say, an orchiectomy, does that also include it as part of it? Or is it only going to cover the full, you know?
Yeah, the whole work.
The whole work, yes.
The lot.
Because, see, I'm not interested. I just don't have a, and there's a lot of us that don't.
That's the thing, because, like, I'm Asian, so I'm a FOMO. Like, I have a fear of missing out.
Yeah.
But I don't want to have the surgery either, so I'm like, you know, if it goes through the system, I'm like, I don't want to miss out on that, though. It's like a freebie for me.
I like the way you kind of threw the Asian bit on there. It's a freebie for me. I like the way you did that. Yeah. Just, I love you. You're amazing. You just cracked me up. But I don't know. It's not something that, I mean, it's great if there are people who need it, but I'd rather see people go here and get it done than go overseas.
Yeah.
Nothing against overseas, but, you know, there's just too many complications. And if you go overseas and people here don't take a look, you know, help you out. So, but I think also it would open the door for more doctors here to start practicing and doing it, which then could help lower the cost.
Yeah. So. And I think in New Zealand they had one doctor and that doctor retired. Have they been able to replace that doctor yet?
I don't know about New Zealand, but they only got one here in Melbourne. So, I don't know if there's anyone in New South Wales, there's only one here who's doing it. So, but again, when we talk about surgeries, it's each individual person's decision. It's not something that is necessarily part of the transition plan. Mm-hmm. So those are things I want to make sure that when we do talk about these things, we're only talking about it because it's a topic and not that it should be something to you should be, oh, yep, 3-6 months in, I need to book it in. That's individual.
Mm. And I feel like, you know, there should be also like a Medicaid cover for mental health or, you know, trauma cleaning, you know, services, really.
Yeah.
I think that's what is more important.
Well, we need to start putting more focus on things like, you know, employment services, looking at things for helping folks like with homelessness, and actually getting people, you know, services to help them beyond the transition process. Mm. You know, the government should probably, you know, should really look at doing the subsidizing. Mm. And you know, unfortunately, you know, we got to get other services as well, too. So. Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yes.
So to lighten up the mood, we have this fake news.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this. This is a new segment. I like it. What do you got?
So technically, so distant smoke signals, you know, spotted by staff at a gay bar, you know, confirmed that a bachelor party of Becky Cartwright was en route to their location, warning all to immediately seek shelter.
Okay.
So this came from the hardtimes.net, which is like The Onion, and it's basically telling
I like the
stories that we like to hear. And it's a really fun story. Like, those of us who've hung around in gay bars for 30 odd years know that, like, if a bachelorette party,
I mean,
yeah, it's just absolutely crazy.
Okay.
But while it's fun, it's also like there's so many times when you're out on the town and you're just trying to be yourself and a woman honks your boob.
Oh god, there are times I've had my boobs honked. I mean, you know, if it's one thing if it was like fun, but it's not. Like, I was going down a Pride March and this woman comes up, she goes, oh, are these real? And then, like, full hand just gave a good, you know, a really good one. And I stood there and she was like about as big as Karen coming up to me. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I look like a lurch compared to you. Like, it's just, it blows you away what people think that they just have the right to do those things. And I don't like it.
Yeah, and then trans women are seen as predators, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Anna maybe, but...
yeah, Anna maybe, but, you know.
Well, not to women. Well, it happens.
She wants to be a dominatrix when she grows up, I think.
When I, because when I first started to dress up and experimenting, I had a straight girl. It's like, well, I had to use this term, but like a fag hag.
Yeah, you know, there's my new soapbox. You know, I'm not the new gay the new gay thing to play with. Like, I'm not the new gay best friend. Mm. Like, places I go to are like, you know, you're talking to folks and like, oh my God, you're so amazing. You know, you're like, I'm going to be like, you know, best friends with you. You're so inspiring, whatever. But then all of a sudden, you know, they it's like, I'm looked at as like the new gay guy. And you, but the gay guy is basically your guy. You can be my friend, but you don't want to like have sex with me and you're just like safe. But then I kind of want to stop and say, well, honey, I actually am attracted to women. And yeah, I want to go and do makeup and have a bit of fun too and have a bit of a laugh and we'll go dancing and do music. But I'm single and I'm telling you now, you are a damn good Scooby snack and I'm not here just to be your new best friend. I want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Hozier and
the fact that
they did the Take Me to Church and had a trans flag?
Yeah,
how I heard cool that. Is that?
Like, it was amazing. Like how just powerful is that? Especially, you know, the song has those sonic connotations in it anyway. Absolutely one of my favorite songs.
Yeah. So, Anna, you were off last week. We started talking a bit about the new campaign that we have, the Build Joy Nation. Our current total is a little bit over $8,000. And as you know, times are a bit hard at Joy at the moment. We're pulling ourselves up by our rainbow bootstraps. And while we're grateful for the community for supporting us for this long, we've been going for over 20 years. We want to go for another 20 years. And what we're asking our family to do and the broader Australian community is help us by donating to our Chuffed campaign. So if you head over to joy.org.au, the campaign's on the front of our website.
And some of these changes, you know, looking at like, you know, changing the proper formats and looking at the new systems and upgrading our current systems as well, will give us better representation as well. I think the thing people understand is, you know, you hear my voice and I still have a man's voice. And I can go through the therapies I want and there's a limitation. You know, you... And like when you do your little, I feel formal when you do your thing as well, you know, but also it gives you a chance to be, you know, heard as well. But, you know, doing things like say some video or, you know, other formats that we can add to this will add further representation because as trans women, there's a limitation in society, what media we have access to. So to see Joy wanting to, you know, help build those representations is amazing. And I'm totally for this and having our listeners contribute and help out with this as much as they can means so much. So, you know, definitely please go to the site and help out where you can.
Yes, please. And join us too. I mean, Joy is awesome. Lots of cool people.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get like free candies around too. So
free candies.
And brownies. And, you know, the kid-friendly kind. Brownies.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing wrong with me. I'm fun.
you're so soft-spoken. Come on.
Anyway.
You just came from an exhibition opening, didn't you?
Yeah, it's from the Outings Project by Sanjeev Singh. So I was honoured to be part of this amazing group of people. So the project really explores the coming out narratives of LGBTIQ plus people in Melbourne and the significant spaces or events that shape their coming out experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's at Chapel After Chapel and it's showing from the 11th of October to the 20th of October. So it's there for the next couple of days. So yeah, check it out. You'll see the Commissioner, Roe Allen. You'll see me, of course, and you'll see other faces of our community there.
Nice.
Mm. Also, we have the Alphabet Soup.
Alphabet Soup is one of my favorite things because when I came out 6 years ago, it was the first place I started going to connect with community and connect with others like me. So even if somebody is, you know, trans and probably not fully presenting that way, or you're just gender diverse or non-binary, you know, but even if you're, you know, just a queer folk as well, it's good to go down there and connect with primarily the trans folk that are there. Go have a cup of coffee, go have a bite to eat, just engage with community. Is it's probably one of the only things those who are over, like say 25 or 26 have within the trans community.
Yeah, and there's actually two of them. There's one in Heidelberg where they run their own cafe, and then there's one at the Den Bar and Bistro in Westgarth.
Mm.
So the one in Westgarth's on the 15th, which is this Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
Mm.
No, that's definitely, I highly recommend that. If anybody's looking for a place to go, a really safe space, it's welcoming. It's quite public, but the whole back end is actually, you know, taken out for transgenderverse folks. And it's really, really important to go down there and just even engage.
And we also have Gender Euphoria
on. Yeah, we've been hearing a lot about that this week.
Yes. So,
how many points did you beat Mamoralto by?
It was 24-17.
Oh.
But if you heard, it was the Hello Kitty questions that knocked me in the head in the lead. And I got to confess, I was watching a TV show on Netflix that was The Toys That Made Us, and there was a whole episode just on Hello Kitty that I just watched, and so I was able to go and answer a lot of those questions.
Was that the same show Dia just watched when she wrote the questions?
Probably, I don't know, but all I know is Mama Alto and I were like neck and neck the whole time. Wow. And then we came to like the bonus round was bang. But also there was the weird questions, the weird things of the news. And what was funny was I research a lot of funny, weird shit for my drive show.
Yeah.
And so I knew a lot of those answers. I wanted to say funny things, but I wanted to win. So, but I'm actually looking forward to hear more about the Gender Euphoria. There were some amazing things that go back and listen to Pop Queers as well. Listen to the podcast when it comes out. Mama talked more about some of the things that are opening up further, some of the funding, some of the acts that are coming down. There was somebody who does burlesque as part of it, who's known for like pulling a strawberry out of their vajay and then passing it to the crowd to eat it. Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, nah.
That's straight out of a scene from Priscilla, surely.
Clearly, I don't know. But supposedly this woman who's from doing that or non-binary. I don't know who what their background is. But they're a burlesque person who's been part of it. And anyway, go back and listen to the podcast for Pop Queers. Pop Queers is an amazing show. But Mama Alto was talking about it on the show.
Yeah, and you know, you will be listening to her personal story next week.
Yep.
We'll be interviewing her next week.
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
So that show's on from the 15th to the 20th of October, and it's the biggest lineup of trans and gender diverse performers. It was a sellout at the world premiere at the Midsummer Festival. And as well as Mamoralto, there's Maude Davy, there's Miss Bailey Rose.
Maude Davy's the one who does that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just going to Google.
That's for later when Jimmy's asleep.
There's Fury. There's Mix Monroe, Ned Dixon.
But there's international cast. They're all coming from different parts of the world. So, I'm down to see this.
Mm. Yeah. Music, dance, comedy, burlesque, circus.
But the idea behind it is to go and show some of the positive sides around transitioning and your gender transition. Where there's so many things in the world today as a trans person that is so negative, and you get stuck in the doldrums of it all. And so the idea is just, you know, light and fun and yeah. Mm.
And this is it for Trans POV on Joy 94.9.
I actually really enjoyed it, Peter. It's nice to hear about the things coming up in the week and some really positive things compared to some of the negative stuff we see in the news lately. So, loving it, Karen. Awesome.
Yes, thank you very much, Karen. We love you.
Yeah, the thing is we're trying to go and have a bit more voices on the show and producer Karen coming in to give us a hand to sort of streamline some things and just help us out. We got a new podcaster helping us out as well.
That's Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. Doing a great job. Thank you so much. So if there are any things you do want to reach out and share with us, or if you anything you want to hear more about, please reach out to us at transpov@joy.org.au. Producer Karen will be jumping on that, and we will be putting them all together and creating some fun content for you.
Yeah, if you have any events or if you work for any trans or gender diverse service charity organizations, just get in touch and we'll have a chat.
Sounds great. Well, you have been listening to Transgender Point of View, Mama Mish.
And Anastasia.
And producer Karen joined us as well. We will talk to you next week.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.